Are we? Okay, Ian, whenever you're... All right.
You're late. Get on with it. You're late. We should be finished by now.
Thank you. Thank you, Daniel. Always good to have your contributions, particularly early in the morning. Yeah, so I hope you can see the source sheet, if you can magnify it for yourselves in some way. The topic of how you make a minion has become one that has, in the last few weeks, approached areas that I don't think we dreamed of before. The challenges of trying to put together a minion which obeys both the halacha and the government's social distancing guidelines, particularly as they change from minute to minute, apparently. And working out when is a garden not a garden, when is a gazebo not a gazebo. If a gazebo is a gazebo, does it mean that it's a separate rishus from the garden or the garden from the next garden? And if there's no fence, is that actually one garden? You shouldn't have more than six people in it. All these exciting halachic discussions we've been able to be involved in. Just by way of introduction, to set, I want to look here at the midrashically look at the sources of the notion of minyan, the notion of that we need 10 men in order to say dvarim shebikdusha, and which is not obvious, but to give it a little bit of sense and context, I want to just briefly relate a vort that Rav Asher Weiss gave, actually on Lag BaOmer, in his Lag BaOmer shiur, which I've mentioned to Daniel already, so he can do something else for a minute. Everyone was getting very excited about Lag BaOmer and Shimon Bar Yochai and going to Meron and how many people broke into the cave or whatever else. What was all that about? So Rav Weiss said very simply, the Gemara tells us how Rav Shimon Bar Yochai was in a cave for 12 years with his son. And during that time, the Gemara says they would get out of the sand and put on their clothes in order to daven, and they'd take their clothes off again and get back into the sand and stop davening and having daven. 12 years, he says, Rav Shimon Bar Yochai davened without a minion. 12 years. And then when, Eliyahu comes and tells him it's safe to get out of the pit, they start walking around, they start looking at things catch fire. And they realize they have to go back into the cave. Another year without davening with a minion. And why? Because of pikuach nefesh. In fact, sofek pikuach nefesh. They are worried, first in the instance, for their own lives, and second, for the damage that they are inadvertently doing to other people. Killing people. And even though once warned they could probably have avoided setting everything on fire, they go back into the cave for another year. And there are no tricks. There are no Hasidim coming out at midnight to chap a mairiv with them. No attempting to get round the rules. Or indeed to have any sort of sense of danger. So there is a serious point here as to why we are being restricted in what we can do, and we shouldn't forget that. And for all the desire to get back into some sort of normality, and particularly the desire to daven with a minion, to lane with a minion, and so on, we do need to bear that perspective in mind. Having said that, let's have a look at some texts. The reason for doing this week is, I suppose, that one of the psukim we're quoting is coming from the parasha of this week, of Shlach Lecha. The first pasuk on the sheet is the very straightforward one that is the basis for requiring some sort of public for Devarim Shebikdusha. The Torah says in Parshas Emor, Vayikra 22:32, don't profane my holy name, I will be sanctified betuch b'nei Yisrael. I've highlighted the word betuch because that's the important one. I will be sanctified in the midst of b'nei Yisrael. I am the Hashem who sanctifies you. The second important verse is from this parasha. Ad matai la'ida hara'a hazot. God says to Moshe after the Chet HaMeraglim, how long do I have to put up with this evil eida, this assembly, community, whatever an eida is, this group of people? Ashehina malinim alai. These troublemakers are complaining about me. I've heard what they've said. And the third pasuk is from next week's parasha, from Korach, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe and Aaron, separate yourselves. Hidbadalu mitoch ha'eda hazot. Two words, mitoch and eda, in the same verse. Get out from the midst of this mob, this congregation, this assembly, whatever they are, and I will destroy them in an instant. Those apparently are the three pesukim which we need to look at. You might well ask, what on earth has that got to do with the notion of a minyan? And it would be a good question. To answer that, we have to look at the Gemaras. So the first one I've got on the sheet is the first place that one would look. The Gemara in Brachos, of Halafam and Beis, talking about what it is that you need a tzibur for. There's a machlokes, can an individual say kedusha or not? Which kedusha, in which part of tefillah, whatever. But then, how do I know that you need a minyan for kedusha? Amar of Adabar Ahava minayin she'ein hayachid omeh kedusha. How do I know that? She'ne'emar. V'nigdashti b'toch b'nei Yisrael. So the first thing that we do is we take that verse in Emor, which of course is in the parasha which begins Shere Chesed. It's the parasha we lay on Yom Tov, which has a strange collection of individual halachas, of not taking the young animal too early to make it a korban, and then of not shechting the animal and its mother on the same day, and then suddenly do the korban teda. Right, strange, and it ends with this pasuk, and that somehow becomes the starting point for this exercise. Dvarim Shiva Kedusha require a minion because the Torah says, I will be sanctified b'toch b'nei Yisrael. Kol davar shebekdusha lo yeh pachot mi'asara. Any holy thing requires a minimum of 10 people. My mashma. So the Gemara says, what are you talking about? How on earth do you get from that verse to the notion of minya? My mashma. What's implied here? The Tane Ravnai Achva de Rabbi Chiya bar Abba. Whoever this is Rav Nai. Whether this is in the parallel source in Sanhedrin, this is Rav Yanai, the brother of Rabbi Chiya bar Abba. There's some textual oddity going on there. Atya toch, we have a device, a gezera shava. We have the word toch in one place, we have the word toch in another place, and we can learn from one to the other. K'tivacha v'nigdashti b'toch b'nei Yisrael. Here the verse says, I will be sanctified b'toch, in the midst of B'nai Yisrael. B'chdifatam, and there it says, hidbadalu mitoch ha'idah hazot. The parsha in Korach, separate yourselves from this group. Mal halan asara, afkan asara. Just as there were 10, so here we need 10. To which the obvious question is, what are you talking about? How do we know that in the parsha of Korach there were 10 people there? What on earth is going on? So there's something has sort of seems to have slipped out of the drasha here. So there's another Gemara. There's a Gemara in Megillah 23b, which Rashi brings actually on the pasuk in the Midbar in Shlach Lecha. There the Mishnah said these are the things for which you need a minyan, a various list of things, including Yored Lifnei HaTeva, the Chazaras HaShatz, and Kriyat HaTorah. Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. The Amar Kra, how do I know that I need 10? So he brings first the same verse, V'nigdashti b'toch b'nei Yisrael, I will be sanctified in the midst of b'nei Yisrael, from Amar. Kodav Hashem Kedusha lo yipachot mi'asara, my mashma, the same as we had in the Gemara in Brachos. How do I know that? And this time it's the Tani Rabbi Chiya, Rabbi Chiya himself, rather than his brother. If this is Rabbi Chiya, who's the same as Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, that was Rabbi Chiya bar Abba who started. There's some strange confusion going on here about who exactly said what, which, you know, I've underlined the names, people could think about that later. Atya toch toch, so we have toch repeated once here in Emor and once in the Parsha of Korach. The Atya, and then there's a second Gedera Shava, Eda, Eda. The word Eda, which is used in Korach, it's also used in Shlach Lecha. For admatai la'eda hara hazot, how long will I put up with this mob? Mal halan asara afkan asara. So just as in the case of the meraglim, there were 10, right? There were 12 spies, and then Yehoshua and Kalev were the good guys, so they'd left. So there were 10 left. Just there, excuse me. Let me just kill that. just as there were 10 in the case of the Meraglim, so there were 10 in the case of Korach. And then, just as there were 10 in the Eidah of Korach, from which Moshe and Aaron are told to get out of, from Mitoch, that Toch takes us back to the parasha of Emor, to Levash HaBikdusha. So it's sort of a two-step limud. In itself, rather a strange thing, as the Torah Tamim points out here in Emor. It's a sort of a strange two-step Gezerah Shavah, which is a bit weird. And there's a similar Gemara in Sanhedrin Ayin Dalet Amud Beis, which is talking not about davening and Sifrei Torah, but about Kiddush Hashem Hashem Befar Hesia. What counts as public in terms of Kiddush Hashem or Chilul Hashem? The question there is about, is the Gemara talking about Esther and whether Esther was publicly with Achashverosh? Whether that's considered sort of a public act. But it's also about Kiddush Hashem. What if there is a parhesia, then the Kiddush Hashem is the parhesia. So here again, Rabbi Yaakov Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Ein parhesia pechutam yasara b'nei adam, you need 10 people. Pshita Yisraelim ba'inan, it's obvious that we need Jews for this to be a parhesia of a Kiddush Hashem. V'chtiv v'nikdashti b'toch b'nei Yisrael. The Torah says, I will be sanctified in the midst, b'toch b'nei Yisrael. By Rabbi Yirmiya, Tisha Yisrael v'nochli echad mau. So Rabbi Yirmiya says, suppose you've got 9 and 1. It's a majority of Jews and one non-Jew. Tashma, come here. The Tani Rav Yanai Achvad Rabbi Chia. This Baraisa again, this time in the name of Rav Yanai, rather than Rav Banna'e, or Rav Na'e, or Rav Nai, or whatever it was in Gemara and Brachas. The brother of Rabbi Chia, Ra'aba. Atya, Toch. Again, the same limud. We learn Toch and Toch from Emor into Korach. Just as there is 10, here too it is 10. So we have the same logic being applied, the same limit being applied to the cases of ritual, of tefillah and of kriyas hatera, and to the case, the sort of the serious and heavy case of Kiddush Hashem and Chilul Hashem. There's an alternative. The Yerushalmi in Barachot has another way of learning this whole thing. And basically, the Yerushalmi says, the second paragraph of the Yerushalmi here, offers an alternative. Amar Rabbi Simon, Ne'eman kan toch, v'ne'ema lahalan toch. And this time, the toch that they're referring to is Vayavo b'nei Yisrael ishbor bar b'toch haba'im. The brothers of Joseph, when they come down to Egypt, there are 10 of them, obviously, because Yosef and Binyamin aren't there, 10 brothers, come down to Egypt. They're described as coming b'toch haba'im, amongst those who came to Egypt to buy grain. Just as there were 10, so here in the case of the Toch, v'nikdashti b'toch b'nei Yisrael, I need 10 people. Amale Rabbi Yosef b'Rabbon, in mitoch at yalif la, saginino. There's an interesting objection for the Yerushalmi. Rabbi Yosef said, well, hang on, if you're going to learn Toch, there's lots and lots of instances of the word Toch in the Chumash. Why do you predict this? Why do you choose this one? I can do better than that. Ela, ne'emar kan b'nei Yisrael, v'ne'emar lahalan b'nei Yisrael. Right, I can circumvent this whole sort of two-step limit by saying, look, the prophet says, "Mikdashti b'toch b'nei Yisrael." I need b'nei Yisrael. The minimum of b'nei Yisrael, it turns out, is 10, not 12, because the Torah describes the 10 brothers of Joseph as b'nei Yisrael. That should be good enough. So we have a nice, clean limit in the Yerushalmi, it would appear, that says, "I don't need all of this toch business and all this Ada business and the two-step limit." What are we playing at? I think that the way to learn Yerushalmi here is that it's raising a question. It's raising in order that we answer it. The answer, I think, is that the reason that the Bavli is going through all of this stuff is it's not the technical sort of pedantic use of Gezerah Shavahs and whether I can have two Gezerah Shavahs linked up together. There are two things that the Bavli wants us to know, and the Tanaim want us to know about how you constitute a minyan. You need two things. You need an Eida and you need Toch. And those words are not just inconsequential and used simply for the technical limud of the Gezerah Shavah, but they are the things that actually constitute the public or constitute the minyan. Exactly how they do that we can think about, but I think very simply, there needs to be a sense, you need to be able to see that there is an Eda, that there is a group, there is a gathering. And there needs to be a sense in which whatever is happening is betuch ha'eda. The thing that is happening, you need to be able to see the people or to experience the crowd or something like that. It's not good enough just to have, I suppose the question is that's been raised is about Zoom conferences, whether a Zoom conference can count as a minyan. Maybe this helps us to understand a little better why it might not. But on that I defer to the rabbi. That I think is the time up. I'm happy to stay and hear how you respond, how you think, whether you have any interesting things to say. Thank you. The one thing I would actually just add is, of course, that the thing that we learn about a minyan is that it's an opportunity for Kiddush Hashem, it's an opportunity for Chilul Hashem. By constructing a minyan, we enable ourselves to do either of those things. And maybe there is something to be taken on board there as we look at all of the front gardens, back gardens, gazebos, and everything else that is currently going on. So, that's it.
Which doesn't mean, Ian, you're not condemning front or back gardens. You're saying we should be careful. Yeah.
I'm saying it's an opportunity for a Kiddush Hashem.
Yeah. Or both. Yeah. Or both.
Or both. Yeah. You have to be careful. You have to be careful. Wherever you have an opportunity.